Ted Nugent was in Hamilton, Texas. They postponed it? Oh, okay. Because of the rain. Okay. I'm glad God delivered me from Ted Nugent music. I'm not trying to pick on y'all guys. God delivered me from Ted Nugent and that music. And that's why I come in here and I sing loud, because the Lord delivered me. And I'm so much happier to be able to sing in praises to Jesus Christ than I was to be glorifying the flesh, because that's all Ted Nugent music does, is glorify the flesh. And don't catch me behind the church and say I'm wrong and this, that, and another. You can like what you like, but you got to admit it, that it glorifies the flesh. And I know all those songs. I grew up on all those songs. So I already started off on a bad foot with some of you guys. But if you were in here when Brother Wills was in here singing, he had a song. He said, "You can't praise Jesus Christ when you're singing George Jones." Yeah. Same thing. You can't praise Jesus Christ when you're singing Ted Nugent. It goes both ways. Amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 2 just hits home a little closer for me, because I love rock and roll. I grew up listening to rock and roll. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians, how in the world did they get Ted Nugent down here in Hamilton, Texas? That just drives me nuts. How'd that happen? That's right. I thought he lived over in San Angelo. Cransville Gap? Oh, okay. Huh. That makes sense then. They don't. Okay, so he's, okay, well then. And I know he's a big Republican, so I know I've stepped on toes by making fun of Ted Nugent. I know that, but so is Kid Rock, and he's, you know, straight from hell too, so. I hope he's saved, amen? I hope Ted Nugent's saved. Amen. I mean, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, talking about believers, you, believers, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked. You were dead, and now you're alive. There was a show not too many years ago that was real popular. I don't know if it's still going on today. It was called The Walking Dead. And they talked to the creator of that show. He was a comic book writer. And he said that The Walking Dead is not referring to the zombies in that show. It's referring to the people that are alive. They're the walking dead. Well, see, if you're a lost man, woman, boy, girl, you're a walking dead man. You who were dead, were in time past you walked. You were the walking dead. But now we're alive in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, a collision course with hell, according to the prince of the power of the air, that'd be Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit working in people. You see it out in the world. You turn on the TV and you say, how in the world could somebody do that kind of heinous acts? How could somebody act that way, think that way? Well, there's a spirit going on. There's spirit working in the world, and the Bible tells us that there's a spirit working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, that's everybody in this room, had our conversation in times past. I just talked about that with some of the music I listened to. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We forget what Jesus Christ delivered us from sometimes, and where we would be without Jesus Christ. But look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That quickened is made alive. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. See, it's Jesus Christ that quickens us. We're quickened together with Christ. Now notice as we continue on how many times this is going to be talking about Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus. Because look what this does. When he quickened us together with Christ, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us. You might not like it, but he's going to make you. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christian, you might not realize it, but doctrinally, you're already seated in heaven right now in Jesus Christ. You're already in heaven. Your body's waiting to get up there. You're already in heaven. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Nobody else but Christ Jesus. It's only Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, that would be back in 2024, 2,000 years later, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through how? Through Christ Jesus. Has God shown you any kindness? Yes. Amen, he has. I commit a sin. The sins I committed last week, God found fit and showed kindness not to strike me dead right there, right where I deserve to go. I deserve to be struck dead right there. I'm tired of you kicking and just strike me. Nope. In God's riches of his grace and his kindness towards us, how is it done? Through Christ Jesus. Now, one of the most salient, important verses in the whole New Testament. You need to know this verse. You need to have it memorized. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That verse there, those verses 8 and 9 say you're saved by grace through faith. Not of anything you do, not nothing you're going to do. There's nowhere you're going to go. There's no church you got to belong to. There's no people you have to feed. There's no something you got to stop doing. There's not something you need to start doing. It's all by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Salvation is going to be God giving you something. It's not going to be God you earning something from God. You got to be given this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. That way we can't get to heaven and boast of what all we've done for God. You've done nothing for God. And what's amazing is when you're doing something for God, it's him working through you, producing that fruit through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christian, you were born again, believer in Jesus Christ. God created you, what? To do good works. You're not saved by works. You're not going to get saved by works, but God created you for you to do some good works. That's what verse 10 tells you. For we are his workmanship, created in what? In Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now look at verse 11. Wherefore remember this, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. There's two groups of people in the world. You're either, according to the word of God here, you're either a Gentile or you're a Jew. So when Jesus Christ came along, before Jesus Christ, there was Jew and Gentile. After Jesus Christ, there's Jew, Gentile, and the church of God. There's three groups now. We're part of the body of Christ. So outside of the body of Christ, there's a Jew, there's a Gentile. Inside the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Jesus Christ. So he's talking about that in time past, Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. Now look at verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What Paul is saying is, hey, you Gentiles, before we got in to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is a Jew, before we got into Jesus Christ, we were outside. We had no hope. We had no promises. We had nothing that was good going for us. We were without hope and without promise. We were aliens. We were outside of all of that. But verse 13, but now, listen to me, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. It's that precious blood of Jesus Christ that's drawn us nigh, near to God. Verse 14. For he, that would be Christ, Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one, the Jew and the Gentile, one body, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, when you went to the temple, a Gentile could go towards the temple, but they could only go so far, and the Gentile wasn't allowed in the temple. The temple was where God resided between the cherubims. That's where God was to a Jew. So Gentile could only go so far, and then there was a wall that partitioned out the Jew and the Gentile. And Paul is saying that wall has been destroyed. The Bible says when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that veil in the temple, it ripped. That veil in the temple ripped in twain. That way you could see in and see God. There was no more need to go to the temple. Now God's going to reside in everybody in this room through Jesus Christ. Now you're the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. That is, the old has been done away with. Now we're under a New Testament. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, that'd be the flesh of Jesus, the enmity, the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What Jesus Christ did on the cross is he took that enemy of yours, which is the law, God's laws, and he nailed them on the cross with Jesus Christ, and that blood covers those laws. That way you don't have to keep the law to be or get saved. You just got to get under the blood. Yeah. It speaks back to the Passover lamb where the Passover blood was put on the door, and anybody who got in that door would be saved. It speaks to all over that Passover lamb. Now look at verse 16. And that he might, Jesus Christ, the Lord God, he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The law. Slain in the law, he's made one body. So we're Jews and Gentiles are in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what color you are. Don't matter what creed you are. Don't matter where you come from, what continent you're from. We're all one in Jesus Christ, one body in Jesus Christ. That's a great mystery. But Paul preached about that. Now, closing out in verse 17. And came, Jesus Christ came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. He preached peace to the Jew. He preached peace to us over here in the Americas. Jesus Christ preached peace. And I want to show you this morning that Jesus Christ, it says there, verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you. It says there back in verse 15, at the end of verse 15, he came to make peace. Jesus preached peace. He came to make peace. And then finally, look up at verse 14. This is what I want to preach on this morning. For he, Christ Jesus, is our peace. Is our peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our peace. Lord, we thank you that you came to preach peace and not condemnation. Lord, we thank you that you came to save the world, not to condemn it. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can have peace with God and the peace of God. Lord, we can have all these things that are promised to us. Lord, thank you for your peace you give us. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to comprehend it, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, you hide me behind the cross. Lord God, I pray these hearts will be open to your word. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to preach this morning on Christ Jesus, our peace. Christ Jesus, our peace. Notice, first thing I want you to notice, verse 14, for he is our peace. That's for a believer. Our. That our is for a believer, not for a non-believer. It's for those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, like in verses 8 and 9, that you're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves. It's for those people. This peace, he's not peace for people that put their faith in a church or in a creed or into a pastor or into a priest or into a pope or into another man or into another religion. It's all about and only about Jesus Christ. That's all it's about. And that's what this peace is for. It's for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible has something to say to those who've not put their faith in Jesus Christ. For those who've not put their faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. That's Isaiah 48. Jeremiah chapter 8, it says, for they have healed the heart of the daughter by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The world goes around saying, peace, peace, we want peace, we want peace agreements, we want peace covenants, we want peace agreements, we want everybody to get along. Why can't we all get along? Let's have peace here. Let's just bring in some peace, and there'll be no peace without Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 8:15 says, we looked for peace, but no good came. That's a testimony of the world. We looked for peace, but no peace came. No good came. No peace. Christ Jesus is our peace. He's not only our peace, but listen, this is what I want to teach and preach on this morning. Jesus Christ is our peace with God, and He's our peace of God. Peace with God and the peace of God. Those are two separate things, and they're very important to understand that there's a peace. You can have this morning the peace with God, and Christian, you can also have the peace of God. The peace with God is given to us, and I'll show you this in a couple of minutes. The peace with God you can have through Jesus Christ. But not everybody in this room has the peace of God. You can have peace with God, but not have the peace of God. Those are two separate things, and I'm going to preach on those this morning. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at the peace, Christ Jesus, our peace. Christ Jesus, our peace with God. First off, Jesus Christ is our peace with God. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5. Christ Jesus is our peace with God. And that's important to understand. He's our peace with God. You know, the prophecy of Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin, in that prophecy, it said that He would be called Wonderful. He'd be called Counselor. He'd be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We're talking about Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus being our peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, you putting your faith through grace, it's your faith, we have peace with God through how? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God simply means this. Without Jesus Christ, without having peace with God, without that peace that Jesus Christ gives you by putting your faith in Him, you're an enemy with God. You're condemned. We just read it in Ephesians chapter 2. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ says, He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. John chapter 3, the same chapter, John the Baptist says, the wrath of God abideth on him, those that don't believe. The wrath of God abideth on him. If you're in here this morning, God, and you're not saved, if you're in here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have peace with God. You and God are enemies. There's been no peace agreement. There's been no peace covenant. You might not realize it. You might not realize that God's mad at you, that God's wrath's on you. But I'm here to tell you and try to wake you up. It is. His wrath is on you. Well, how mad is He? He's going to take you and condemn you and throw you into a devil's hell. Now, that's wrath enough. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Means that peace with God means that God no longer has something against you. You no longer are condemned, but you're justified. See, those condemned and justified, those are all legal terms that the Bible's using. Condemned is somebody who's already been sentenced and they're condemned and they're going to be punished. They're going to prison. It's over with. Justified is a legal term meaning that it's just if you'd never done it. It's stronger than a pardon. It's just if you'd never done it. It's like when God looks down, it's like, I don't know, I can't see anything because the blood of Jesus Christ is covering everything. There's no way that God can judge you because our judgment's already been done. It's just like justified means it's just like God looks down like you've never done it at all. Therefore, being justified by faith. It's by that faith. It's not by works. It's not of anything you're going to do. You're going to have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, God said, now we're no longer enemies. Now you're a child of God. You're my child. Now I'm your father. I'm no longer your judge. I'm your father. Now I'm going to treat you like a father. Now you're my son. And now you're justified. It's like you've done nothing wrong. You can't get a better thing than that right there. There's no way. You were his enemy and now you are his child. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look down at verse 10. Well, look at verse 8. Let's get the context of verse 8. Look at verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to get right. He didn't wait for you to do some good works. He died for you while you were sinners. Much more than being now justified by his blood, that's the process, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Jesus Christ. See, there's that justification does for you. Now you have peace with God. You see that back in verse 1. Justified by faith, we have peace with God because we had God's wrath was on us. And thanks to the precious blood of Jesus Christ and us putting our faith in that precious blood and asking Jesus Christ to save us, we have peace with God. Everything's okay with me and God now. It hasn't always been that way, but once I got saved, everything got right between me and God. Look at verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. Praise God. You know, Christ didn't go to the cross when we were his friends. He went to the cross when we were his enemies. He went to the cross to die for me and you and our sins and sinners. And there was nothing, there was something wrong between me and God. And God was my enemy and I was God's enemy. And Jesus Christ made it right through his precious blood. And now, if you'll take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll have peace with God there in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Once you have this peace with God, nothing will ever change. Amen. There's nothing ever going to change that peace with God. Now, the peace of God can change. And I'm about to talk about that. Your peace of God, the peace that God gives you can change. But your peace with God, that never changes. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This is a Bible doctrine that's very strong all through the Bible. See, what I found as a minister of the Word of God, talking to people who've been saved, I've ran into people that are saved, that have accepted Jesus Christ, and then they'll come to me and they'll say, well, I'm just not sure. I just don't know. So well, why are you doubting it? I just don't know why God would love me enough. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved, but sometimes, preacher, I just doubt. What I found out, a lot of times their doubt comes from not being in the Word of God. The doubt comes with not being in the Word of God and not believing what the Word of God says about their soul and their salvation. And it reminds me of a story I read where Lincoln, back in the Civil War days, had told this one guy if he can get across the Mason-Dixon line, he'd be pardoned. He wouldn't have to worry about anything else. And that guy set forth to go across the Mason-Dixon line to get across there so he would be pardoned. He didn't have to worry about anything. And all through the night, he worried and fretted. And he got through that. He was so worried about getting caught. And he was just sweating it out. And he got through the night. In the middle of the morning, he found some other soldiers, and they caught him over there, and they said, man, where am I at? He asked, where am I at? He said, man, you crossed the Mason-Dixon line probably about 9 o'clock at night. And he worried it all night long. You were safe from about 9 o'clock, and you fretted all night long. And he said, I wish I'd have known that. That's the way a lot of Christians are. You're going to get saved, and you're going to fret it all through your life until you take your last breath. You're going to wake up in Jesus' arms. And Jesus is going to tell you, if you just read my word and believed, everything will be all right. Just believe. It kind of reminds me of a prisoner. And this happened this is back in the early 1900s. A prisoner, the governor came in, and they're in jail, and all the prisoners are in there. And the governor came in, and they said, John so-and-so. And John so-and-so stood up, and he says, the governor has told me to give you a pardon. You're pardoned. And the whole prison erupted. They're all cheering, yay, yay. They're so excited for John that he was pardoned by the governor. And then the warden came in. The warden came in for the prison and said, okay, everybody, get in line. Let's go back to the cells. And everybody got in line, and John went in there and got in line with everybody else. And they walked over and said, John, you're free. You're not with them anymore. You've been pardoned. Christian, you're free. You're not with the condemned anymore. You've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe what he said and believe and you'll be free. And when he sets you free, Jesus Christ, you will be free indeed. Man, I'll be the first one to tell you I'm a sinner. I'll be the first one to tell you I've made some major mistakes in my Christian walk. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm going to make some bigger mistakes probably right down the road if the Lord don't take me home. But I'm here to tell you, though, that once I got saved, I'm saved. And you're not going to talk me out of it. And trust me, people have tried to talk me out of it because I'm just that dumb. They look at me like, that dumb idiot. He's done this and that and this and that. Are you sure you're saved? I'm saved. And when you get into the Word of God, it just concretes that. It just concretes that. That's that peace with God that we all need in here. And some of us don't realize we have it. Now, let's talk about what Christ Jesus is our peace. He's our peace with God. Now, let's look at Christ Jesus being our peace with of God, the of God. Now, look at Philippians chapter 4. Christ Jesus is our peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, and what I mean by not a peace of God, like, but peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding that we find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Christ Jesus is our peace of God. This is what everybody in this room needs. Everybody in this room needs the peace with God. You need to be saved. But secondly, if you're saved in here, then you need to have the peace of God. And not everybody has it. Not every Christian has the peace of God. Every Christian, now listen, every born-again Christian has the peace with God. That's why you're a Christian, amen. God are not enemies anymore. But not every Christian has the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. That's what he says. Be full of care for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, don't worry about everything. Stop worrying about everything. But in everything, by prayer, by praying about it, and supplication with what? With thanksgiving. Be thankful. See, thanksgiving for a Christian isn't just on a Thursday in November. It's every day of the year for a Christian. Man. Amen. I hope y'all get that. I hope you woke up this morning and said, Lord, thank you for just giving me another day. Thank you I'm not in the hospital. Thank you, Lord, that I have a roof over my head. Thank you for I have a car to drive to church. Lord, thank you that I have my family here. Thank you that I got one more day. Because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Some of y'all have lived long enough to know it. One day they're here and the next day they're not. One day you might be here and the next day you're not. And it don't matter how old you are or how young you are. I've seen it happen from 8 to 80. I've seen it happen. That one day they're here, the next day they're not. And be thankful. Let your request be made known unto God. And what? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. There's Christ Jesus again. It's through Christ Jesus. Notice, it's the peace of God. God does it in you and for you. And that's what makes it so wonderful. It's that peace that passes all understanding. It's that peace when somebody's really, really sick and they might be even on their deathbed and you go in to talk to them and they have a smile on their face and they say, everything's going to be okay. No, everything's going to be okay. You're about to die. No, I'm about to go to heaven with Jesus Christ. That's that peace of God that passeth all understanding. That peace of God that we know what's coming on the other end. We know that if I die tonight, I'm actually better off. I want to say that again because some of y'all don't like that. If I die tonight, I'm better off than you. I got it better off. No more railroad commission. Some of y'all might not know what that joke means. We had the railroad commission come in here and tell us, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, that y'all got to change this and got to change that. I'm like, why are you doing this to us? Well, we're just doing an inspection. How often do you do this inspection? Well, every about 5 years. Well, I've been here 18 years and never had an inspection. There'll be no more railroad commission. No more IRS. No more heartache. No more pain. No more backaches. No more knee aches. No more headaches. No more people driving me nuts. It's going to be a great family. It's going to be a great reunion. And above all else, it'll be with Jesus Christ. You know, I've told this story before, and I'll say it again. I've been in Sligers there in Brownwood, and this is back when it was over there by where that car wash is or whatever. But I went to Sligers, and they had all these nice stuff. Always had real nice stuff there. And they had this like little concrete thing, and it was sitting on the ground. And it said, if tears, and it was in the concrete, it was carved in there. If tears were steps, I would climb up to heaven and bring you home. It's like, what kind of nonsense is that? If tears were steps, I'd climb back up to heaven and bring you home. This ain't home. Whoever wrote that's not a Christian. If they are, they need to get right with God. This ain't home. My mom's up in heaven. I don't want to bring her back to this hell hole. I want to bring her back. You contemplate, meditate on that, some of y'all. Y'all got loved ones that have gone on to be with God. You want to bring them back to this hell hole? Hey, come on back here. Listen, look at the price of milk and eggs. Look at the price of groceries. Look at how much I'm paying in rent. Now let's sit down. Oh, I can't turn on the TV because it'd embarrass me to show you what's on TV. Some of our loved ones, they couldn't even walk into Walmart. They'd be ashamed just covering their eyes. Like, why are people dressed this way? Why is people's hair colored that way? Why are people dressed this way? This is home? No, that's home. My mom went to home a lot earlier than she should have, but she got out easy. Amen. And it took, when I was a young man, my mom went on home early. It broke my heart, and I didn't understand it. But as I got further into the scriptures, I'm like, man, God did her a favor. Now, it was hard on me and my sister, but we deserved it. We survived. But my mom, she got the best deal going. We can't look at, we don't see it that way though, do we? I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray you get healed. I'm gonna pray you get healed. And then when the Lord takes them, it's like, oh, why didn't God answer my prayers? He did answer your prayers. They got the ultimate healing. You prayed too hard. Now they're up in heaven, completely healed. But you'd rather them, oh, I want them to stay down here so they can suffer some more and keep going to the doctor some more and stay in the nursing home some more and be in the hospital some more and suffer some more. Oh, what we're praying for is God, don't take them away from me. If you'd be honest, that's what you should be praying. And you should be praying, God, I want you to take them, and then, Lord, I want to see them really soon. So, Lord, I know you got me something doing down here, and I'm going to work for you until you come and get me. But, Lord, I'd be okay if you would ration me out tonight. Let's go. That's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Turn to John chapter 14. Turn to John chapter 14. Let's see what Jesus Christ had to say about this. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. Man, it's tough when your loved ones move on. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not just trying to kind of keep... I'm trying to give you a heavenly mindset. Christians, y'all in here, I could say, if you're in here and you're saved, say amen. And I know I'd get a bunch of amens. Amen? Oh, yeah, you believe that, but do you believe it? Because when you're saying it, you're saying you believe your soul is saved and is kept by God. And when you take your last breath, this old body's going to go in a grave where the worms are going to get it. But your soul is saved. Amen. And you believe that. Amen. But why do you get so upset when God does something to take somebody on home? You ever thought maybe God wants them more than you do? Maybe God likes them. Sometimes I wonder why these people get to live to be 80, 90 years old. I think, well, God just don't want them up there yet. You know, it's like, well, do I have to have them up here? Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I kept them down as long as I can. Go ahead and bring them on up here. You know, y'all know Christians like that, don't you? I don't know. I'm wondering. You know, God has a sense of humor. I'm wondering when we get to heaven if that's not what's going to go on. God's going to say, well, you know, I would have brought you up here sooner, but you kind of get on my nerves a little bit, boy. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I know the Lord. He's got a sense of humor. I know he does. Have you not read in the Bible where David's talking? And you know what David said about God? He liked me. Did God just like me? Does God like you? That's what David said. God liked me. And if you read the Bible, it's obvious God liked him. He let David get away with murder. Literally. Literally, he let him get away with murder. That's how much he liked David. That's what a good father do. A good father tends to like the one of his kids he likes. Amen? And those kids that are, I'm not going to keep on. I'm hurting your feelings already. I can see it. Look at John chapter 14, verse 27. Yeah, some of this needs to be more real to you. And I don't want to be, it needs to stop being a game or just a philosophy or an idea. You need to start really meditating on this. Say, if God's my father, I want to be a good child. I don't want to be like the bad child. I want to be the good child. John chapter 14, verse 27. Here's a promise from Jesus Christ to us, his believers, and this is to his disciples and us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth it, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, but neither let it be afraid. Amen. Jesus promised you peace. And I pray for that, and I pray for that for some of you guys. And I pray for that in my life too. There's been times when things trouble me, something's happening in my life. Maybe there's an illness troubling me, or something's happening that's troubling me. And I'll pray, Lord, you promised me peace. Give me peace, Lord. That peace, what? That passeth all understanding. Lord, give them peace to deal with what they're dealing with. That peace that passeth all understanding. Did he not promise it to us? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth. The world thinks it's giving you. There's no peace. There's no peace to the wicked. There's no peace. They'll find a way to have joy. They'll find a way to have happiness for a little while. They'll find a way to have joy for a little while. They'll find a way to do all those things that we think are so important. But there's one thing the world's always missing. It's peace. They can't find peace. That's why you have millionaires and billionaires committing suicide. Like, why would they commit suicide? They have no peace. There's no peace. Say, to the wicked, saith the Lord. But he says, not as the world giveth you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So when things are happening, just you've got to pray and say, Lord, I need that peace that only you can give me, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you're my peace. Ephesians 2 said, he's our peace. Lord Jesus, you're my peace. I'm not getting peace in the world. I'm not getting peace in entertainment or music or anything else, Lord. I'm not getting it through relationships or friendships. I'm going to get my peace through you, Lord Jesus. Please give me the peace that passeth all understanding. Look one more verse and we'll close. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. And we're closing. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus is our peace. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Christ Jesus is our peace with God, and he's our peace of God. We get it from Christ Jesus. Look at John 16, verse 33, and we're closing here. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ Jesus, ye might have peace. In the world, you should have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. Yeah, forget that. We forget that. Death is coming, knocking on your door. You might be young, you might be healthy in here, but death's coming. And one day death's going to knock on your door. It does everybody, including me. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And when death comes knocking on your door, you can know assuredly in your heart and have peace that Jesus Christ has overcome death. He's overcome that. Whatever comes into your life, he's overcome it. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what problems you're having in your life, but I can tell you that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. See, Christ Jesus will bring peace into a troubled heart. He'll bring peace into a troubled heart. My heart was troubled. And there's been times, even as a Christian, Well, I've lost that peace of God, and I didn't have peace about something, and I went and got on my knees, and I'll be troubled about something. And man, there's nothing. I can't explain it, but it's just like this sweet peace drifts into my heart. And that trouble, only way I can describe it is when Jesus Christ got into the boat when the storm was raging and raving and all the wind was blowing and the wind and the waters were coming over the edge of the boat, and Jesus Christ stood up and said, "Peace, be calm." And they said that that's what happened in my heart. The Lord Jesus can bring peace into a troubled heart. He can bring peace into a troubled marriage. I've seen Jesus heal up a troubled marriage. I've seen Jesus bring peace to a troubled marriage. I've seen Jesus bring peace to a troubled family. I've seen Jesus bring peace into a troubled relationship. I've seen Jesus bring peace into a troubled nation, like the nation of Israel. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can bring peace into this world. And He is. And when He comes as Prince of Peace, as King of Kings, and comes to rule and reign. If you're in here this morning and you say, "I don't have peace," the first thing I want to ask you, do you have the peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Have you made it right with God? Are you and God at one? Jesus Christ is our atonement. He's our one-man. He makes us at one with God. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and gotten saved so you can have that peace with God? Secondly, I want to ask you, if you do know you've done that and you don't have that peace I'm talking about, have you not been thankful lately? Have you been thanking God for everything He's done for you? Or are you taking Him for granted? There's great peace when you can find a way to be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you one more verse. I know I lied to you, but look, I'm going to read one more. Colossians chapter 3. Because I want to give this to you. The Lord just brought it to my mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. If you don't want to turn to it, I'm going to read it really quick. Verse 15, Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." See, that thankful is tied to peace of God. But notice it says, "and let the peace of God." You can hinder it. You cannot let it. You can hinder it. You cannot let it. But Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Maybe you're letting the world and all the troubles of the world rule your heart. Maybe you need to say, "King Jesus, Prince of Peace, please come sit on my heart and rule and be the ruler with peace and be the peace of God ruling in my heart."